Name something that gets passed around.
A joint.
A joint.
Now, streaming live on the Marijuana Agenda.
Oh, gnarly. What are you people? On dope?
It's time for Toker Talk Radio.
Hey, this is great, man.
The voice of the marijuana nation.
Marijuana is listed as a Schedule I drug. That is absurd.
Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ. That's 650-534-2565.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Hey, man. Am I driving okay?
Toker Talk Radio is your chance to make your voice heard in the marijuana nation.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
Send that message with clarity that good people don't smoke marijuana.
Now let's get to Toking and Talking with your host, Russ Belville.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Time for Toker Talk Radio. Glad to have you all here. We've got the bong. Well, it's the green screen is going to fade it out because it's green colored. But we got the green bottle bong from Daily High Club. If you haven't checked them out, check out Daily High Club. I get a box every month. It's got a piece of glass. It's got some got a lighter, usually some papers, blunt wraps, all that kind of good stuff. And then usually like a little weed like gadget. Anyway, this was one of the pieces that came from Daily High Club, the little bottle bong. And I've spilled it three times now. My desk smells like bong water. It's just awful. Dan Rather never had these problems. Mr. Rather, your desk smells like bong water. Never happened. We got all sorts of stuff to talk about here in hour two. Coming up in a later segment, we're going to take a look at a 50th anniversary clip from the late Robert F. Kennedy, the grandfather of Joe Kennedy III, who delivered the State of the Union response for the Democrats. So that'll come in the next segment. Also coming up on the show, those clips about Steve Mnuchin. Played him in hour one. We had just a couple of clips. I'm going to give you the full meal deal, the complete segments of the three congressmen from California, Colorado, and Washington questioning Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin on marijuana banking issues. That's coming up later on in the program. But first, I wanted to talk about this piece in the Washington Post. Keith Humphreys writes about why states should limit the potency of marijuana. Now, hold on, I know. Let's hear him out. So Keith Humphreys writes about this, and he points to a study that was done in the Netherlands, which has had, you know, coffee shops for years, right? And the researchers measured the THC potency of marijuana over a 16-year period. They said in 2000, marijuana potency doubled from 8.6% to 20.3% in 2004. And they say in that 4-year period, there was a surge in the number of people seeking treatment for marijuana-related problems. Then when the potency declined to 15.3% THC, because I think the Dutch have made some rule now where anything over 15% is now considered a hard drug. Could be wrong on that. I'll have to double check. But when the potency declined to 15.3%, the marijuana treatment admissions fell thereafter. The researchers estimated that for every 3% increase in THC, roughly one more person per 100,000 in the population would seek marijuana use disorder treatment for the first time. Okay, so every 3% equals one in 100,000 who will have marijuana use disorder. All right. So Humphreys then extrapolates this to the U.S. where he says, you know, legal potency in like Washington state's averaging 20% now. And, you know, mostly over 20% in what I can find here in Oregon and such. So the potency issue here. And he also dismisses the iron law of prohibition, which is the idea that if you prohibit drugs, they get more potent, which we found to be true in the case of alcohol. Prohibition led us from beer to whiskey, and we found it with marijuana. As prohibition ratcheted up, we got more potent marijuana. We've gotten more potent heroin. We've gotten more potent meth, more potent cocaine. But he says the potency of marijuana under legalization has disproved that idea. Potency rises both legal and illegal markets for the simple reason that it conveys advantages to sellers. More potent drugs have more potential to addict customers, thereby turning them into reliable profit centers. Now, this plays right into the Kevin Sabet talking point of the merchants for addiction and the addiction for profit industry. Now, he goes on to point out that in the alcohol beverage industry, they have different laws for beer versus brandy, right? The higher the potency, it's a different type of drug, and it's taxed differently and marketed differently and has different requirements to it. But he says in marijuana, we're not doing that. And so that's a problem, something we ought to think about. And at the end, he concludes, government can and should place limits on marijuana's strength just as it does other addictive products, thereby protecting public health as well as saving the taxpayer the future costs of treatment and other needed health care services. Well, I got to tell you, I'm hearing from some people who think that is a fantastic idea. It's the, illegal weed dealers of America. Thank you for that idea. Are you kidding me? You set a limit. Let's just pick an arbitrary number. Let's say 15%. You set a 15% limit of potency on the bud you can get at a dispensary or a pot shop in a legal state. And all you've just done is driven a large proportion of your customer base right into the arms of the black market growers who are going to grow easily 20, 25% THC bud. It's the same as the last story I was talking about. It's this idea that there's a demand for something and therefore we ought to try to stop people from doing it. And especially if you try to tax it. His idea is, you know, tax the potency, right? The more, the 1% per THC percentage, whatever you want to call it, but however they set it up, you make the more potent stuff more expensive. You've just made it a whole lot easier to be a weed dealer. This idea that we're having a certain level increase in marijuana use disorder means that we have to restrict marijuana even further because we did the same with alcohol, ignores a very salient point. And that is, there's not a huge black market in alcohol. There's not people who have the right to do so. They have the right to brew hundreds of gallons of beer. They have the right to distill spirits in some states. You can get a license for that. Not a whole lot of people do it. It's a pain in the ass. It's hard to do. Marijuana's not that way. Now, growing marijuana can be a chore, can be difficult for some. But the results of what you grow, the harvest that you get, there's so much to harvest that it makes it well worth your while. So I don't see how an alcohol-style solution is going to work for a weed. And that's something I think these public policy people keep failing to recognize, is that there's a massive demand for a weed. No, government should not be placing potency limits on the items that are sold. Government should be doing a better job of honestly explaining to people and educating them on potencies, educating them on marijuana use disorders. But let them understand, and plus, I don't know that I necessarily accept the premise that legalizing or that a more potent marijuana is more addictive. That to me would say that you're more likely to become an alcoholic drinking vodka than drinking beer. And I don't know that that's true. The molecule's the molecule. Drink enough beers and it's just like being drunk on a few shots of vodka. Smoke enough 15% THC marijuana, and it's going to be close enough to what you'd smoked with the 25% marijuana. They seem to think there's a different high. Like there's a different high, like it's more potent, like a tequila drunk is different than a wine drunk. No, drunk is drunk, high is high. All right, we got to take a break. Thanks for joining us here on Toker Talk Radio. When we come back, we got that audio 50 years ago, Bobby Kennedy talking about decriminalizing marijuana. Stay tuned.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Looking for the 420 friendliest way to visit beautiful legal Potland, Oregon?
I'm Lori Duckworth, inviting you to come stay with us at Delta 9 House and Studios.
You get your own private room with queen bed and access to our high-speed Wi-Fi, premium entertainment system, and more.
We'll even cook you breakfast. Look us up on Facebook at Delta 9 House.
That's facebook.com/Delta9House. Delta 9 House is booked through Airbnb.com. City of Portland permit number 17-159855.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
But we're not going to sit here and listen to you badmouth the United States of America.
Learn more at MJAgenda.com. Research has shown that states that allow adult access to marijuana have rates of drug overdose deaths far lower than the national average. Medical marijuana access is also correlated with doctors prescribing far fewer opioid painkillers and less opioid use by patients. If the government is serious about declaring a national emergency over opioids, it's time to end the failed federal prohibition on marijuana. The Marijuana Agenda free podcast is available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, SoundCloud, and on our Facebook page at MJ Agenda. Free video archives are available at the Radical Russ channel on YouTube. Help keep this media free by making a donation at paypal.me/Radical Russ.
Most of us pirates, we go on vacation to North Dakota, you know, because they've got a town called Argusville. What are you smoking there, boy?
It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
Welcome back, everybody. And today on Toker Talk Radio, we want to look back 50 years ago and Robert F. Kennedy. And the reason we're bringing up Bobby Kennedy, who was Attorney General under his brother's administration. The reason we bring up Bobby Kennedy, of course, he was assassinated in 1968 as well. That'll happen. The 50th anniversary of that happens in what, June, July? But Bobby Kennedy was running for president in 68. And it's really remarkable to me how the assassin's bullet that took down Robert Kennedy, I think more so than the killing of his brother, made for a drastic change in the timeline of what America would come to be. I really believe that, because Robert Kennedy was progressive on so many issues, you know, on poverty, on race relations, on so many issues. And he doesn't disappoint on the issue of marijuana either, and the drug war and our criminal justice system in general. And we bring up Robert Kennedy because his grandson was chosen to deliver the response to the President Trump State of the Union address, Joe Kennedy III. And I can't tell you what he said. I have no idea what the State of the Union response was, because the only thing that got reported on was that his lips were moist. He had glistening lips. That was the big takeaway from Joe Kennedy III. Ginger hair and all. And it just kills me the Dems would pick this guy when, like, the big thing I could think we could take away from Hillary Clinton losing, one of the big things, was that, you know, people are on the Democratic side are kind of tired of the old dynastic family politics, the Clinton machine, and the old same old names. You know, that are in their 70s, their 80s, the Chuck Schumers and the Nancy Pelosi's. And it's like, hey, it's the 21st century. Get some younger people here. I mean, I think a Congressman Seth Moulton, an Iraq war vet, handsome young man, would have been a much better choice than another Kennedy. Like, hey, let's go back and get another old name from the Democratic stable. Yeah, I know Kennedy III is young and all, but still, it's the dynastic idea. The Kennedys and the Clintons, you know, what can we get beyond that? So Joe Kennedy III, picked to deliver this State of the Union response, Tom Angel reported on this earlier, but he opposes ending prohibition, voted against measures to shield state medical marijuana laws from federal interference, voted against allowing military veterans to access medical cannabis, voted against protecting children who use non-psychoactive cannabidiol to treat severe seizures, and only one of a handful of Democrats that was in opposition to any of these things. But it was 50 years ago, this week, that his grandfather, Bobby Kennedy, appeared on The Tonight Show. Harry Belafonte was hosting The Tonight Show that night. And he spoke out specifically about the war on drugs, specifically about the issue of marijuana. The clip is a little long, but I think the memory of Bobby Kennedy, 1968, this deserves it. 50 years ago, Bobby Kennedy on The Tonight Show.
The whole question of whether we are lowering the barriers with communism and on one side of the world, and we're signing a proliferation treaty of control of atomic weapons in one part of the world, and in another part of the world we're killing people because they're communists. Sounds inconsistent, and it is inconsistent. Or the whole question of, for instance, of drugs. We permit baths. Cigarettes, which kill far more people every year than marijuana, for instance.
That's right.
There is tremendous economic power behind those people, and so that we don't pass laws to deal with that, even though our Department of Health has said that they're so dangerous, kill, 350,000 people a year. Well, so, There is this great wealth that I talked about, and that there's yet this great poverty. There are speeches made about the fact we're going to treat everybody equally, and yet we don't treat everybody equally. There's talks given, pronouncements made, and laws written that everybody's going to have an opportunity to have a job and have decent housing, and yet 43% of the people that live in the city of New York and live in this city live in dilapidated and run-down housing and are bitten by rats, 17,000 people bitten by rats, and the poverty in rural areas is worse. So if we weren't sanctimonious about it, we weren't hypocritical about it, and we didn't perhaps tell untruths about ourselves, then I think that, and faced up to reality, then I think our country would be much better off, and our people would have much more confidence in those of us who are public officials and in our government as a whole.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Imagine that man had become president in 1968 instead of Richard Nixon. Imagine that. If we didn't tell all these untruths and faced up to the reality, we'd be much better off. People would have more confidence in our public officials. Just amazing. And so his grandson couldn't be farther off from the positions of the grandfather, who 50 years ago saw where this was going, understood what was up. And hell, even farther back than 50 years ago, San Ho Tree, who's a fantastic researcher at the Institute for Policy Studies, on his Twitter feed, he notes that Bobby Kennedy was far ahead of his time, especially with regard to the narcotics problem, as it was known then. This remains one of my favorite drug policy quotes of all time. Imagine if Congress had taken his advice in 1965, and he provides this quote from 65, when he was a senator. In 1965, Senator Robert F. Kennedy tried to promote an enlightened drug policy before our country declared war on its own citizens. He told Congress, quote, "Now, more than at any other time in our history, the addict is a product of a society which has moved faster and further than it has allowed him to go. A society which, in its complexity and increasing material comfort, has left him behind. In taking up the use of drugs, the addict is merely exhibiting the outermost aspects of a deep-seated alienation from this society, or a combination of personal problems having both psychological and sociological aspects. The fact that addiction is bound up with the hardcore of the worst problems confronting us socially makes it discouraging at the outset to talk about solving it. Solving it really means solving poverty and broken homes, racial discrimination and inadequate education, slums and unemployment, end quote. Yeah, 1965. Wow.
Beer, beer.
No, Homer, we're talking about weed. But imagine, 1965. We're just now, in 2018, getting back around to that kind of thinking. Johann Hari and Carl Hart and some of these thought leaders out there understanding the whole Rat Park idea that it's not the drug, it's the environment. Drug use and addiction is a symptom, not the problem. We're back with more Mnuchin after this.
If you work in the cannabis industry, consume marijuana, or just support freedom, you need to know about breaking policy news that affects you. Marijuana Moment is the daily newsletter that helps you stay on top of all the latest and most important state, federal, and international cannabis developments. Brought to you by longtime legalization activist Tom Angel, Marijuana Moment puts a concise yet comprehensive overview of cannabis news in your inbox early every weekday morning. Wake up to Marijuana Moment and rest assured you'll be ready for the cannabis news that's driving the day. Subscribe now at marijuanamoment.net.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Law enforcement is a part of the answer. It's part of creating a climate of hostility to drug use in America.
Whatever you're smoking, it's not marijuana. The Marijuana Agenda is a listener-supported independent podcast brought to you by Radical Russ Media, LLC. Subscribe to our VIP feed at mjagenda.com for access to our ad-free podcast segment archive. Make a one-time donation to support the Marijuana Agenda at paypal.me/radicalruss. Now, in the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Marijuana Agenda presents this anti-drug public service announcement.
So, you finally got to wear your shoes the right way. You're picking out your own clothes. Your own music. You're going to the mall by yourself. And that haircut? That was your idea. You're making your own decisions. So don't blow this one. Don't smoke pot.
This has been an actual anti-drug public service announcement. To combat this and other drug war hysteria, listen to the Marijuana Agenda every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific at live.mjagenda.com or download the free podcast at mjagenda.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
What are you people? On dope?
Learn more at mjagenda.com.
Buddy, it's Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Pod 2.0.
It's not your father's Woodstock weed.
It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
Oh, welcome back, everybody. Hey, as I'd mentioned, and if you hadn't caught it, we've changed formats and that we're doing 2-hour show every week So every Wednesday, I'll be here doing the two-hour program. And the second hour, Toker Talk Radio, is available as a podcast exclusively for my supporters on the Patreon page. And that's the page you get when you go to mjagenda.com. And if you look on the right, there's a thing that says Become a Patron. You click that. And that's your way that you can set up a $4.20 a month donation to come this way. And I'll keep doing this. And that's the way it is. You get this extra hour, which is a little looser, a little less newsy in some respects, but sometimes a little more in-depth on the news in others. Also, a chance for us to talk about things that aren't necessarily about weed. One of the things about Toker Talk Radio is that it's talk radio for tokers. And talk radio means that we talk about the subjects that are going on in the day. We don't have to get too deep in them, too deep in the weeds, if you'll pardon the pun. But there is some topics that sometimes I like to bring up and get your thoughts on them as well. You can always tweet at me, at Radical Russ is probably the easiest way to get in touch with me. I have quite a banter with my followers on the social media. But you find me Radical Russ everywhere. And also you can find me on the Radical Russ webpage now, RadicalRuss.com. The new blog where I'm posting my various articles, including the one I'm going to go into here in the next segment about Steve Mnuchin and the bags of cash. But before I do, I wanted to talk about Trump and his latest wish for a military style parade, like a French, like Bastille Day parade. He's serious about this. He wants to have the tanks and the missiles and the, you know, big, huge phalanx of an entire battalion marching down the street. Never mind that the tanks would tear up Pennsylvania Avenue and cost the taxpayers of D.C., who are taxed without being represented, by the way. They'd have to pay to, you know, fix the roads from these tanks rolling down the street. But he wants the big, big parade. And I thought, you know, instead of like spending the $8 million they were going to spend on to have to do this, instead of spending that kind of money on a parade, why don't we instead hire 50,000 supermodels, 50,000 supermodels, and put them in bikinis and have them carry big signs and say, Donald Trump, you have the biggest penis ever. It's the greatest penis. We love your penis. Whatever the sign says, but I mean, really, it accomplished the same thing, right? That's what this is, right? It's a dick-waving thing, right? Certainly, the supermodel's high heels would do less damage to Pennsylvania Avenue than rolling a couple M1 Abrams down the street. Anyway, I just had to get that off my chest, but I did want to follow up with a comment from Admiral James Stavridis. He was the NATO Supreme Allied Commander, former NATO Supreme Allied Commander. He says, quote, parades like this remind me of that old Texas saying about a braggart, saying he was all hat, no cattle. We are the best military in the world, and we don't need a North Korea-style parade to prove it. End quote. All hat, no cattle. No doubt about it. All right, let's get into some Trump administration here. In the previous hour, we covered in the Cannabis Headline News that Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, the evil John Oliver doppelganger, Steve Mnuchin, who was like a Hollywood producer. It's wild. But Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, is testifying, being interviewed by some congressmen about various issues. But the marijuana issue is the one that we care about. And three of our lawmakers, all Democrats from legal states, pressed him on the issue of marijuana and banking. And the first up is Representative Brad Sherman. He's a Democrat from California. And he's talking about the FinCEN guidance. And so you understand the Washington speak here. The FinCEN is the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. It's the money cops. Okay? So the federal money cops have this guidance that the Obama administration put on them about, hey, you know, we know we're not supposed to let drug traffickers, you know, launder money through banks, but, you know, these states went and legalized marijuana, so, you know, maybe don't pay so much attention to that, right? It's not a protection, it's just guidance, right? It's like Cole memo. It's like, yeah, maybe you got other better things to do thing, but it doesn't really protect anybody. It still leaves the marijuana industry you know, in this tenuous position of, I don't know if we have a bank account or not, and people losing their accounts and so forth. So these congressmen pressing Steve Mnuchin on, hey, you're the head of the Department of Treasury. What are you going to do about this? What do you think about this? Don't pull these FinCEN guidance. That would be a disaster. And the first one up, Representative Brad Sherman from California, explained exactly why this would be a disaster. If I knew where I put that audio, where did I put that audio at? Okay. Well, I had the audio loaded. Doggone. Now I've just ruined it all, haven't I? Okay. So Brad Sherman was the first up. Actually, I think I can find this audio real quick, folks. Sorry for the delay. But yes, here we go. We got three clips here, so we'll just pull them into the old. Okay, all three. Here we go. So we start with Representative Brad Sherman in this clip, where he's explaining to Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, exactly why it would be bad to go and pull these Obama-era regulations. Let's see.
Process. When it comes to marijuana, we currently have the FinCEN guidance. And if you were to revoke that, then that would really make it better for armed robbers in my community, because there'd be huge amounts of cash at the local marijuana dispensary. Can I have... I hope you'd respond for the record what you plan to do, and I hope that you would indicate that you're interested in keeping our community safe. I don't want bags of cash at a marijuana dispensary down the street from my constituents. Can I count on your answer?
I can commit to you that we are reviewing it, but I assure you we don't want bags of cash. I want to make sure that we can collect our necessary taxes and other things in other than
cash. When you were here last...
So bags of cash. He doesn't want to have bags of cash. We want to collect our taxes or fees. We want to be able to collect these through the normal banking channels. And that's good to hear, but it's not, he's kind of noncommittal. It's like, we don't want to have bags of cash. All right. So what are you going to do about it? How are you going to fix that? And fortunately, about an hour or two later in the testimony, I remember these things go, you know, 5-6 hours. About an hour later in the testimony, he gets followed up by Representative Denny Heck, a Democrat out of Washington State.
Something that you said earlier in response to the question about FinCEN guidance on access to banking services for marijuana businesses in states that have legally constituted them, either through approval of legislative action or by a vote of the people, which is now a majority of states. And what you said, Mr. Secretary, is, I'm quoting you verbatim from just a couple hours ago, I can assure you we don't want bags of cash. I can conceive of no way in which you can avoid bags of cash if you back down on FinCEN guidance. Do you have something in mind that would enable us to prevent that very perilous circumstance to public safety of having bags of cash through a route other than that which FinCEN has already offered in terms of guidance?
Sure. Well, as I mentioned, we are reviewing the existing guidance. We specifically haven't taken it down. We are looking at what Justice has done. And again, as I said, we're sensitive to the issue of dealing with the public safety issue and also making sure that the IRS and others have ways of collecting taxes without taking in cash.
I'm interpreting what you just said to effectively, implicitly being supportive of the current FinCEN guidance. Would I be off in that regard?
I want to be careful in my wording and saying we are reviewing it, but the intent is not to take it down without a replacement that can deal with the current situation.
Very good, sir.
So he wants to keep FinCEN guidance, not take it down without something to replace it. Well, the obvious replacement would be to legalize this, to remove any of the laws that are restricting these banks from doing business with the legal marijuana industry. But of course, that's all wrapped up in it being a Schedule One drug. And I think the financial angle on this is probably going to be more so than the medical side, right? Because we've been arguing for years, it doesn't belong in Schedule One. It's got medical applications. It's a safe to use as anything that's being sold over the counter, and far safer in most instances. And we've argued that to death, and it's not gotten us very far because, again, fact, science, reason, and logic don't necessarily matter to politicians. But money? Yeah, money talks in Washington, D.C. And I can see the Mnuchins of the world looking at this little baby market to their eyes compared to pharmaceuticals or alcohol or tobacco. It's still a small market, but, you know, $7 billion and growing in the marijuana market, and California just about ready to pop. And the prospect of other states coming on board and the whole nation being able to take this in and raise revenues and create jobs off it, the money aspect is more likely to get federal Schedule One taken off than any truth about its scientific or medicinal value. Sad to say it. They might wrap it in some of the explanatory documents, but the real reason here is the money. They want that money flowing through banking. And the more legalized marijuana continues to thrive, the fewer dollars there are from the illegal markets that get laundered in all sorts of ways through the banks, HSBC, for example. So they want a piece of the pie. And if Schedule One is what's restricting the banking industry from being able to work with it, then I think Schedule One is pretty much taking a long walk off a short pier pretty soon. We shall see. But I think there's too much in there. There's too much money involved for this to continue for much longer. They want that piece of the pie. We'll get some more from Mnuchin as a third representative in Congress. Representative Earl Perlmutter. And that's a hard name for me to say. Earl Perlmutter. We'll get his reaction to Mnuchin's comments as well.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
You're not high. You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
We need to say, as Nancy Reagan said, just say no. Don't do it. There's no excuse for this.
Okay, maybe you're a little high. After 5 years of legal marijuana in Colorado and Washington, both states have shown no increase in teen use of marijuana and decreases in marijuana DUI arrests, while generating tens of thousands of jobs and hundreds of millions in tax revenue. Legalization is no longer theory. It's a proven public policy benefit. Tell your elected officials it's time to end adult marijuana prohibition.
Buddy, it's Russ Belville from The Marijuana Agenda, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Hello, Mr. Man. Hi. I'm working. I'm sorry. No food till this is done.
It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
Welcome back. We're still covering the Steve Mnuchin testimony on marijuana business access to banking. It's already been questioned by Representative Brad Sherman out of California and Denny Heck from Washington, who they've basically got him to say, we're not going to do anything about the current FinCEN guidelines, which is the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, the money cops. We're not going to do anything about the money cops being told to stand down, basically, on prosecuting banking crimes within the marijuana industry. But that's kind of just that's just one memo. That's just a little guidance, right? And as we've seen, the Department of Justice went and shit-canned the Cole memo and the Ogden memo, Wilkinson memo. What's to stop Treasury from just, you know, killing this guidance from to FinCEN? So to follow up on this half commitment from Mnuchin that, hey, we're not going to get rid of the guidance until we can replace it with something better. Well, the obvious solution here is to legalize it and the problem, right? And fortunately, a third representative, Representative Earl Perlmutter, a Democrat of Colorado, had the follow-up question in mind that I was hoping someone would finally get to.
Okay. Thank you. Second question, marijuana and banking. And when you were here last, you and I had a little conversation, and obviously we see this industry growing. We're up to 46 states that have some level of marijuana use. So whether it's cannabis oil for seizures or medical marijuana or commercial. And, the chairman and I joust about this from time to time. But obviously the banking industry needs to provide some services to all these businesses across all these states. And I don't know if you were surprised by the revocation of the Cole memo by the Justice Department or whether you'd had chances to talk to the Attorney General before that occurred, but the genie is out of the bottle on this. And Treasury and Justice and the Congress need to address this. So you said you were going to talk to your friend Mr. Mulvaney about some CFPB issue or maybe budget or whatever. I suggest to you that you talk to him about the SAFE Act that Mr. Heck and I are sponsoring, because he was a co-sponsor of it. And we hoped he would have been the main sponsor, but for the fact he was selected to go to the administration. So obviously, in response to Mr. Heck, you guys are reviewing your FinCEN guidances and things like that, but there is no kind of going back here. And your department is square in the middle of so many banks and so many businesses either having a safe way and an accountable way to manage this. Just if you have any comments to my comments.
Well, yes, first of all, I will follow up with Director Mulvaney on the SAFE Act specifically. I did not participate in the Attorney General's decision and what he did, but we are consulting with them now. And again, we do want to find a solution to make sure that businesses that have large access to cash have a way to get them into a depository institution for it to be safe.
So it seems like it's possible we get something reasonable from Mnuchin here, but the SAFE Act is really what has to happen. It has to get through this Congress, and fortunately we're getting more Republicans in this Congress that are starting to warm up to this issue and recognize what has to be done. And we may even have Jeff Sessions to thank for that. I've been reading pieces lately about how Jeff Sessions calling for this old school return to, you know, the drug war 1980s is galvanizing many members of Congress to finally have to, make a position known, have to take a stand on the issue. And that could be the good news coming out of having Jeff Sessions as our Attorney General, is nobody ever was a cheerleader for prohibition before. Once somebody has to stand up, somebody's out there cheering prohibition, and it forces you to say, no, that's what we want to get away from. We know what the effects of that are. All Jeff Sessions can see is that it was a culture thing. That back in the 80s, Just Say No, we had it on the TV shows. you know, Nancy Reagan showing up on Different Strokes, and the Hollywood scriptwriters and screenwriters being paid to throw in the government's anti-drug messaging into the popular media. We've been there, and that's something Jeff Sessions likes. Government endorsement of a particular morality. These are hardly, you know, separation of church and state type people. They think there should definitely be some authoritarian wisdom from on high that's enforced and promoted in the public square with the government expense and imprimatur. And I'm sorry, that's just anathema to everything I think America is, or should be, at least. But that's why they love it. It's a culture thing. They remember the good old days when there was anti-drug commercials on and the egg in the frying pan, and anybody that we caught, we'd lock them up and Just Say No and three strikes, and we were tough on it, and we made a stand. We showed how unacceptable. Just say no. Just don't do it. Just don't start. Just don't say start. No. Just don't do it.
President Trump said to us the other day in a meeting, don't start.
Don't. Just no.
Nancy Reagan saying, just say no.
No.
Start this stuff.
It's so easy for them because it's just to them it's evil. And so to them they imagine that, like, it must happen that you're just sitting around and someone offers you a joint and you just should be going, Satan, get thee behind me, right? Yeah. And that's why they long for this 1980s drug war. It's not so much how much it solved or didn't solve as far as the drug crisis, although they'll point to, look how many fewer people admitted to pollsters calling them on the phone whether or not they were breaking federal laws with regard to drugs. That number went down. Ooh, yeah, but the prison population went up. And that's what you find. Is something Rick Steves has said many times, is that the Europeans learned that you could either have tolerance for alternative lifestyles or you can build more prisons. And that just, you know, you can't legislate morality. You got to accept that some people are going to live in ways that you don't particularly like. And if they're not harming you, it's their right to do so. And that's the thing these marijuana, anti-marijuana people can't get their head around. I bring it back to that in every debate I have with any of these prohibitionists, is that I like marijuana. And I'm an adult man, self-employed, paying the bills, paying taxes, doing what I'm supposed to, following the laws. And I'm going to smoke weed in my house. I'm just going to always do it. Oh, well, we don't want to lock you up. Yeah, but you want to force me to have to go engage in a criminal transaction. And that's the thing. They can't get around this idea. They get around to this tolerance, this light, you know, this light bigotry against us of, oh, well, if you're in your house, you know, Kevin Sabet's line of, if you're in your, you're staying in your 40-year-old guy and stay in your house, you don't drive my kid's school bus and you don't drive a car and you stay, and you're a monk who lives, you know, a hermit who lives, you know, locked away in a closet, then okay, I guess it's okay if you smoke weed because, God, we don't have to see you or interact with you in society or anything. They can get that far, some of them. But they're still to the point where, oh, well, if you're in public with it and we catch you with it, of course we have to fine you. Of course we have to give you a ticket, because if we didn't, why, we'd be approving of you having it. We'd be giving our tacit approval and showing that it's not morally wrong. But some of you can get to the decrim. You can get them to the shouldn't lock me up part. But in this decrim world of theirs, where do they think I'm getting the weed? I'm getting it from somebody who grows it and sells it. They still want to lock those people up. Never stopped me from getting weed. I was able to get weed in Idaho for years and years and years, despite Idaho locking up people for it. Still was able to get it. Because you can't eliminate the law of supply and demand. People are going to keep getting it. And it's a weed. That's just the core of this. But you get these Jeff Sessions types, it's all a matter of it being a culture thing. Now, in other news, of course, we had the Super Bowl. And I got to say, I enjoyed it immensely. It was just so beautiful that Tom Brady dropped the first touchdown pass a quarterback would ever have in a Super Bowl. And his opponent then later got it. That was beautiful. I know the Patriots fans out there, I got a few in my feed, are complaining about what they saw to be unfair calls with regard to whether or not people caught the ball all the way through to the ground or whether or not their foot was in bounds or anything like that. It's like, yeah, man, really sucks when it seems obvious calls go against you, doesn't it? Keep on whining. All I know is that Tom Brady now joins an elite club of Fran Tarkenton, John Elway, and Jim Kelly as quarterbacks with three or more Super Bowl losses. I know one of my friends is like, dude, he's got five wins. Yeah, but he's got three losses. There you go. Terry Bradshaw and Joe Montana combined, they got eight Super Bowl rings and no losses. And none of them had to have a kicker save them or the opposing coach calling the worst goal line Super Bowl play ever or, a call going here or there, a deflated football, or stealing the opponent's play signals, videotaping the opponent's practices. They didn't need any of that. They still won eight Super Bowls between the two of them. Okay, so it takes two Hall of Famers to make one Tom Brady. I will admit Tom Brady is a great quarterback. I know. I hate on Tom Brady, but I do got a problem with him not shaking hands with the opposing quarterback after the Super Bowls. He did it with the two Super Bowls he lost to Eli Manning. He never shook hands with him. He didn't shake hands with Foles at the end of this Super Bowl. So it was a fun game to watch, though. Really, really enjoyed it. I hope you did, too. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll wrap things up here at Delta 9 House and Studios with some sad news about the Delta 9 hens we have to bring to you. No, none of them died. We'll be back after this. Also, tattoo update. Got some tattoo media that's causing quite a stir here at Delta 9 House. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for being here.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville is brought to you by Cannabis Kamikaze, a professional licensed producer from Canada producing 3 pounds per light. Follow Cannabis Kamikaze on Twitter at Cannabis Kamikaze. That's at Cannabis, K-A-M-I-K-A-Z. Cannabis Kamikaze.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
It's like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Health Cannabinoid, your ACMPR experts. Consultation services for medical cannabis. Visit healthcannabinoid.com or call 1-800-906-1383. That's www.healthcannabinoid.com or call 1-800-906-1383. Health Cannabinoid.
Your Hector David, PKA Dirtball, Liska Ruska, Gilatiden, Allah Ur.
It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
Welcome back, everybody. And here at Delta 9 House and Studios, we are hosting people here who want to get their 420 friendly on. We got rooms here for you that you can rent out by the day, by the week, even as long as a month, and enjoy a wonderful home with home-cooked breakfast every morning by yours truly. That's right. I'm a breakfast cook. And in that breakfast, you will get some form of scrambled eggs from our Delta 9 hens. And you may have been following me for a while. You know that we got chickens here at the Delta 9 house. And they got two different groups. One is the Mean Girls, which are the original chickens. And then there's the Peepers, which are these little chickens that we got, younger chickens. We got three of them. And so these three younger chickens, we had Cyndi Lauper, Kirsten Stewart, and Lady Gaga. And there's some controversy over the Lady Gaga thing. We'll get to that later. But anyway, the Lady Gaga and the Kirsten Stewart are much smaller. And then Cyndi Lauper chicken was bigger with these big feathery feet. Funny looking. When this chicken runs, it looks like someone wearing a pair of chaps, like a South American cowboy, a gaucho, right? So, and this chicken's red, right? Well, anyway, over the past few days, we begin to suspect that Cyndi Lauper might be a boy chicken. We thought we might have a cock amongst our hens. And we noticed because Cyndi Lauper kept trying to, you know, jump on some of the other little chickens. Cyndi Lauper was sexually harassing the other hens, right? Well, turned out this morning, got the video recording from Lori here at Delta 9 of early in the morning, as the sun comes up, Cyndi Lauper's up on a branch crowing. Cock-a-doodle-doo, right? Like, oh, God, we definitely have us a cock. And we can't have a rooster in the city limits, so looking for a home for who used to be Cyndi Lauper, now renamed Harvey Fierstein. Harvey Weinstein, not Harvey Fierstein. I cracked myself up. No, Harvey Weinstein, because he's sexually harassing all the other chickens, of course. So that's your news from Delta 9 House and Studios. Also, some Oregon news. It's kind of interesting to me and others that have spent a lot of time working in the Oregon legislature through the years now to change our marijuana laws. Lori, of course, been a big part of changing those laws, and other folks who are regular listeners of the program helped a lot to pass medical marijuana, to get dispensaries regulated, to defelonize possession over an ounce, all sorts of things. And as we went through all those battles, a particular opponent was State Senator Cruz, K-R-U-S-E, State Senator Cruz. Well, now, State Senator Cruz is one of the latest victims of, well, I shouldn't say victim, as the recipient of the justice of the Me Too movement, as allegations of his sexual harassment, a pattern of sexual harassment, are having Oregon lawmakers calling for him to step down. He says he's just a huggy person. But it's allegations of grabbing and holding and rubbing and touching and just being inappropriate as a state senator. So much so to the point where he was reprimanded by the president of the Senate, who also had to reprimand him about his smoking of cigarettes. He continued to smoke inside his Capitol office after they numerous times said, you can't smoke in here. He just continued to smoke. So much so the state Senate president had his door taken off of his office. So he couldn't shut the door and smoke in there anymore, so they'd know when he's smoking. So Mr. Touchy-Feely and smoke wherever you like, smoke him if you got him here, looks like he might be on the way out of the Oregon Senate. And, yeah, it's too bad for these women, you know, having to go through all the politics of it and the media coverage and everything they're going to have to go through. But good that this guy might finally be out. Goodness. State senator, like, and he'd be doing it in committee rooms and in places where they have, like, the video feed running. And so they have actual video of him grabbing him by the hips, putting his hands around their waist, and his head upon his chin on their head, and being all touchy feely. Senator Russian fingers here.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
Everyone here at Delta 9 House in the studios, I'm Radical Russ Belville. Thanks for joining us. Check me out on RadicalRuss.com. Get the podcast at MJAgenda.com. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers. You're growing, you're trying to roam it, you're smoking, and it goes down smooth.